أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا صدق الله العظيم. We discuss verses 97, 98 and 99 of Surah An-Nisa. In the last verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about striving, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for jihad. Here in these verses, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about hijrah. Hijrah actually means to migrate, and in the technical terms of the shariat, it will mean that one leaves one's abode, one's residence, one's hometown. Because of one's deen, one is unable to practice, and one goes to a place where one is able to practice the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. More specifically to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Makkah Mukarramah was the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but because of extreme persecution and because the Muslims, the Sahaba, were unable to practice the deen, the result was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that they should make hijrat. The one hijrat that the Sahaba had made was to Abyssinia. As a matter of fact, in the seerah we find that there were two hijrats to Abyssinia. And then we find that the hijrat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had taken place to Madinah Tayyibah. So this hijrat that actually was in vogue from Makkah to Madinah, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up to the conquest of Makkah till the 8th year of the hijrah, was a compulsory hijrah. In other words, it was fard. Fard would mean that if any person had accepted, embraced Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, then it was compulsory for that person, if he was able to leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Madinah Tayyibah and live in Madinah Tayyibah. However, after the conquest of Makkah, then that hijrat was no more fard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this. The word hijrah also, one is a hijrah that is, insofar as travel is concerned, an exposition of it, where a person moves from one place to another, an outward act. And then one hijrah we get, like we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about in the hadith, wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an, that a real muhajir, it is an internal hijrat that a person makes, and that is to leave sin, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Coming to the ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those that were in Makkah, those that are in a place in which a person is unable to practice one's deen, or at least the fara'id of deen. And one has the ability to make hijrat, to migrate from there, and one does not do it, what are the consequences of it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Certainly, those people, when the malaika are about to seize their souls, in other words, at the time of their death, who are these people? ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. People who had wronged themselves. قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. The malaika will ask them, what was your condition? In other words, outwardly it seemed to be pathetic. Outwardly there seemed to be persecution. You were unable to practice your deen. So what really was your condition? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Their response will be probably spontaneous, that we were suppressed in the land. In other words, we were unable to practice our deen. There was a constraint, a restriction in the land that we had lived in. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرُضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Now the malaika will question them, that was not the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vast, so that you could have made hijrah, you could have migrated from this place and gone to another. Again, in the context of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, could you have not left Makkah Mukarrama and gone to Madinah Munawwara or in any other place at any other time? There was a restriction in far as your deen was concerned. You had the ways, you had the means, you had the financial ability to have traveled from one place to another. You could have left, but you did not leave. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then those people, their abode is the fire of Jahannam. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And it is an evil masir, it is an evil place that they have reached and now made it an abode. Now in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the real mustadafin, the real people who are suppressed, who are the exception to all that. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضَافِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ. Except those who were the real suppressed individuals from the men, the women and the children. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلًا. One was, they did not have any way, they did not have any device, they did not have any plan to leave where they were in that suppressed land or in the land where the deen was suppressed. Either financially they could have not left, or physically they could have not left, or for that matter, the people around the government of that time or the community of that time would not allow them to leave, like we had seen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. Or they did not know a way that they could have left that place and gone to another place. Now there were many of these mustadafin. In some verses before this, we discussed Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala used to say, him and his mother were also included in the mustadafin. Then we find in the narrations, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Tayyibah, he made dua for three particular sahaba. One was Al-Walid ibn Al-Walid, that this sahabi was caught as a prisoner of war at the time of Badr. And then thereafter, he paid his ransom, he accepted Islam. He went to Makkah and they had come to know about his Islam. They had come to know about his Iman. He was imprisoned. He was persecuted. Now at that time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to know that there is no real way out because of imprisonment and persecution, his family, his people, he was the brother of Khalid bin Walid, so one can imagine and understand there was no way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually makes dua for this sahabi, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens his way and he is freed. Then we find another sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salma ibn Hisham. Salma ibn Hisham was actually the blood brother of Abu Jahl, and he also had accepted Islam in the very early days, and he was also subjected to persecution, imprisonment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua for him. Ayash ibn Abi Rabi'a, he was the half brother of Abu Jahl, their mothers were the same. Now this sahabi was amazing in the fact he had accepted Islam in the early days. He had gone to Abyssinia, and then from Abyssinia he made hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah. Abu Jahl comes to know, he goes to Madinah Tayyibah and he sits and he speaks to his brother and he says that our mother is so fond of you and so much in love with you that she needs to see you, because she has taken a qasam, an oath, that she will never rest, she will never go into any shade. In other words, she will remain in the sun forever until she does not see her son. So when this person hears this, obviously insan is insan, the pity of his mother comes into his heart, and then he accompanies Abu Jahl to Makkah just to see his mother, for her to see him, so that she can accomplish and fulfill that qasam and now go back into the shade and relieve herself from the heat of the sun. He is now imprisoned, he is captured. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for him, and of course because of that dua he is also released. So there were these people that were the mustadafin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, that they had no way out, there was no device, there was no plan by which they could come out of Makkah Mukarrama. So they were the exceptions if they remained in this land of persecution, unable to practice the deen properly or openly. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ. Those are the people that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them, Allah ta'ala will pardon them, Allah ta'ala will overlook them. In other words, they seek the forgiveness knowing that they were unable to travel, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want them to make tawbah and seek forgiveness from him. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all pardoning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. Hence, we find that these were the difficult moments for those individuals. And when we see all of this, we should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that where we are and how we are able to practice our deen very, very openly. And for that, we should express a great deal of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua that Allah ta'ala keeps it this way. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.